My guest at this time is John Bolton. He's the former United States Ambassador to the United Nations, now with the American Enterprise Institute. He joins me now to talk about the state of the 2016 presidential race, particularly as it relates to how the candidates are focusing on foreign policy issues, and also, especially in light of Monday night's presidential debate, which at least some of that debate was supposed to focus intently on national security issues. And we'll get into that in just a moment. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it was billed as a debate that would not focus entirely on national security, but a significant portion would. And while there were questions on it, it seemed like some people were surprised that there wasn't a whole lot more. What was your take on the amount of time related to critical national security issues?
Well, I don't think there was enough time. And, the topics in the debate were very broad. So certainly they could have gotten into more. Maybe they'll pick up the pace in the remaining two presidential debates. But I just think given the threat of international terrorism around the world, the threat of nuclear proliferation, the threats of Russia and China, that people need to be able to size up the candidates on how they're going to do dealing with these foreign challenges. And it's pretty hard when you're squeezed into 3 and 4 minute answers at the end of 90 minutes of a debate.
What was your take on what we did hear from both Trump and Clinton on the issues that were raised?
Well, I think on cybersecurity, they were actually in substantial agreement. But I think the real point is that Hillary tried to take her answer and make it into a political shot about Russia. And it's certainly the case that the Russian cyber warfare capability is enormous. They've got all kinds of allies and proxies around the world. But so is the threat from China. So is the threat from North Korea. We have not done nearly enough in the United States offensively or defensively. I think the pace has certainly picked up in recent years, but we really just were ignoring this problem for far too long. And we can see from some of the hacking that's been done how relatively easy it is for outsiders to gather material and publish it. But what we don't know is what they're leaving behind in some sensitive systems, particularly electronics, telecommunications, transportation, that kind of thing, that if activated in a time of crisis or actual hostilities could be devastating to us. And it's something that I think younger Americans in particular are aware of because of their extensive use of digital communication. And there I wish Trump had raised, and perhaps he will next time, what is going to happen tomorrow, which is ICANN, the Internet Domain Naming Agency, it has a lot of other influences on the Internet, is going to be transferred from United States supervision to international supervision. I'm very worried that is a threat to national security. It's a threat to the Internet. If the likes of Russia and China and other nations can get their hands on it, that the Internet as we know it will cease to exist. So I hope it, not just as a question of national security, although it's important for that reason too, but I hope they come back to that in the next debate.
One other thing that came up on a national security point of view was ISIS. Hillary Clinton laid out her plan. Donald Trump laid out his plan. Both were fairly general in what they said, but based on what you know and what they said, what were your takeaways?
Well, I think Hillary Clinton is going to be Barack Obama's third term, and I think that's true not just on national security matters, but on domestic policy as well. And while she likes to say, and in fact did several times say on Monday, well, I've got a plan for this or I've got a plan for that, her plan for ISIS sounds suspiciously like Barack Obama's, except she's going to do it better. Whereas I think Trump has been very clear, as long as ISIS has a privileged sanctuary from which it can recruit new members, train and direct them to terrorist activity in Europe or the United States, that's a real threat to us. So the slow-rolling Obama offensive against ISIS in Iraq and Syria has really cost us and could cost us further in very human terms if there are more terrorist attacks before the ISIS safe haven is destroyed. And I think Trump has been about as emphatic as one can imagine that he believes that rapidly defeating ISIS in Iraq and Syria ought to be the top priority.
Two quick follow-ups on that. Trump in his scripted speeches obviously offers a lot more detail than he can in a brief period of time in a debate, but not a lot of specifics. Are you worried that without the script in front of him that he's still playing catch-up on what's really going on with some of these issues?
No, I don't think so, because I think he, on ICE in particular, he's been very clear. He wants the chance to speak with the top military officials at the Pentagon to get a better understanding of exactly what the lay of the land is. And even if he laid out a plan today, in 6 months, when assuming he wins, when he takes office, the lay of the land could be different. So that part doesn't bother me. And in fact, I actually rather liked one of Hillary's suggestions when she was talking about getting her fact checkers going. With the internet, you can put up an awful lot of information simultaneously with the debate. And I think most people today are watching television, probably have a cell phone and a tablet on even while they're watching. That could be an interesting adjunct to a debate, so that the principals on screen could talk policy and not feel they have to go in and rote memorize all kinds of facts to show what geniuses they are. I think it could make for a lot more lively debates.
Also this week, sir, the director of the FBI, James Comey, was up on Capitol Hill, and he said it'll probably be a few years before the ISIS sanctuary is destroyed in Iraq and Syria. I don't know if you agree with that timetable, but his larger point was that those people are going to flee into Western Europe and possibly the United States, and that could make the threat even greater. Do you agree with that?
Well, I certainly agree with the second point. And, you know, the first question, how long will it take to defeat ISIS in Syria and Iraq, depends on the answer to the question we were just talking about. And I think what he's implicitly saying is, if Hillary's elected, carrying out Obama's policies, it will take several years to defeat ISIS. I don't think that's what Trump has in mind. But whatever the timetable is, I think the key point he was trying to make was that ISIS is not going to fight to the last man. I mean, if anything, when they've come under attack, when they've been pushed back from some of the positions in Iraq in particular that they took, they retreated, I think, in good order. They left some people behind who were prepared to fight to the very end. But they have not been in the kind of chaotic retreat that would signal a breakdown of their command and control or their discipline. So if they are able to hold with that level of professionalism, I think they'll fight a slow retreat, hold off as long as they can, wait for the United States to get tired or get diverted by something else. But if it looks like they're going down to defeat, I think they will do precisely what FBI Director Comey said, and they'll simply leave the region and go and carry on their war against the West in Europe or in the United States itself.
Last topic for you, Ambassador Bolton, and that's another story that played out here in Washington this week. The Congress of the United States overwhelmingly overriding the veto of President Obama on legislation that would permit families of 9/11 victims to seek damages from the government of Saudi Arabia, since 15 of the 19 hijackers came from Saudi Arabia. And there's plenty of speculation, a lot of funding potentially came from there as well. The president says that this could set a bad precedent and it damages our relationship with Saudi Arabia. Most of the people up on Capitol Hill say, let the courts sort this out. The 9/11 victims ought to have access to this remedy. What's your read on it?
Well, I was against the bill. I think it's a very bad idea. By lifting Saudi or any other country's sovereign immunity, if they are alleged to have engaged in terrorist acts, we're exposing American military personnel, intelligence agents, diplomats, and even private citizens to being arrested overseas, to being pursued by lawsuits, to having frivolous lawsuits filed against the U.S. government that endanger our operations all around the world. And, you know, if the Saudis really did participate in 9/11, they've committed an act of war against the United States. That's not the proper response, is not a lawsuit. It's what Bush did against Taliban and al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Does anybody really think George W. Bush is covering up for the Saudis? I mean, it's just not a credible statement. And I think as well, the bill is a cruel hoax on the families of the victims. They're not going to find out anything more than what the general public already knows, because the Saudis are not going to allow them to wander through their files or interview their top officials. And at the end of the day, they're going to be the victims' families are going to be right where they are today, although the legislation will have harmed the United States internationally. I blame the Obama administration in substantial part. They weren't paying attention to this. They didn't make the arguments until it was far too late. And I think a lot of Republicans just wanted to send a signal by doing the first override of a presidential veto under Obama. There's talk about coming back in the lame duck session after the election to try and fix the damage done here. And I guess all I can say at this point is I've got my fingers crossed, but my hopes are not high.
Ambassador, we'll be back in touch. Thanks very much for your time today.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.